When I was a teenager, my family moved into a new house, and I got my own room. The only thing is that my own room, which I'd never had before, was in an unfinished basement. The walls were made of blankets, and the carpet was bright orange. Yes, I was desperate for my own room, but I loved that room, and I hated the carpet. Of course, it was bright orange. But now that carpet serves as a kind of a profound reminder to me of something. It reminds me of a major turning point in my life. And one time I was 17 years old and I was trying to figure out what to do with the rest of my life. And I wasn't too sure. I was kind of conflicted between what was logical. And logical to me was being an engineer at the time. If you know me, that's a crazy that was actually logical. But in my mind, that was logical. And I was conflicted between that and what God wanted me to do. And I remember one day getting down on my knees and praying and asking God to show me what he wanted me to do. And I remember just saying to him, I remember saying, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you'll lead me. And when I look back, I know that moment changed the whole direction of my life. Since that time, I've heard many other stories of people's orange carpet moments. Moments in time when people decided to follow Jesus for the first time, or in a greater or more unique or in a bolder way. And maybe you remember the time, maybe that first time you eagerly decided to follow Jesus wherever he would lead you. And this is what I'm going to call an inflection point. In life. An inflection point is kind of a mathy term, and it looks like this on a graph. In business terms, it's when a market opens up in a kind of a disruptive, innovative way. It's kind of it's like a turning point that changes the way things are or the way people think. You might think of some things right away, like the internet, like the smartphone, maybe 9/11, and of course what we're going through not right now, which is COVID-19. Well, Jesus' arrival on earth was also an inflection point. My orange carpet moment was an inflection point for me. And maybe you can think of a moment in your life that was an inflection point for you. And today we're going to look at a passage which I think must have been that for these two guys who encountered Jesus. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to look at a true story about Jesus talking to two disciples or followers of Jesus. So we're going to look at Matthew 8, 18 to 22, and this is what it says. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Well, Matthew writes about this after recording Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and the recording of three different miracles: the healing of the leper, the healing of the centurion's servant, and the healing of a sick mother-in-law. And Luke has a very similar account of these encounters with Jesus. This is one of several instances of Jesus' call to follow him. And this story helps us understand that the miracles Jesus performed were not just about showing his power or simply a display of compassion and love, but ultimately a call to action. A call for people to dramatically change the direction of their lives to follow Jesus. I imagine the situation kind of like this. Jesus is actually trying to retreat from the crowd by crossing to the other side of the lake. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he, you know, tired tired physically, tired from the crowd of people, or maybe he just had something else in mind, we don't know. But he doesn't shy away from first challenging a couple people who are trying to keep following after him. So these two guys approach him, and the first guy to approach him is a little overeager. Okay, so we're going to call this first guy we encounter overeager. And it says here that he is a teacher of the law. So he was Jewish, and he would have known all the ins and outs of following the law. You might remember that Matthew is actually written with a Jewish audience in mind. And typically, we see the teachers of the law in the Bible challenging and often refusing to believe Jesus. But here we have a very eager, and we're going to find out, maybe a little overeager teacher of the law. Perhaps he had heard the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps he had seen the miracles and he was eager to get on the bandwagon with Jesus. And maybe the charisma and the authority of Jesus and the miracles stirred up that emotional response in him. We don't really know, but we do know that this teacher of the law makes this bold statement to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you will go." Well, first of all, notice that he called him teacher. He didn't understand the full scope of who Jesus was, but he did understand he was someone to keep listening to. He may have thought he was the Messiah, but in the sense that all Jews expected the Messiah to come as a king and to rule on the earth, making things better for them in their nation. Maybe he was hoping for some kind of advantage in life, being associated with the soon-to-be king. But as Jesus always seems to do, he sees more than what his followers actually say. He sees straight to his heart, to his motives. And he responds with this, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I love Jesus' big, bold, shocking responses to people. "Even the animals will have a better place to stay than you if you follow me." Sounds like a discouragement to follow him, actually. The message says it this way, "Are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know." The rewards of following him may not include physical comforts that you were used to, and you need to consider this before you follow me. Well, and Jesus also uses this title for himself, Son of Man. And this phrase is actually used 28 times in the book of Matthew and many other times in the other Gospels. And commentators say it refers back to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where it describes the Son of Man as someone who receives the worship due to God alone. And using this title would have revealed his identity as a long-awaited Messiah and King. But this term also identified in him with people, with being human, and as one who would suffer. In other passages about the Messiah, you could look at Isaiah 53, it says he will suffer and die. This would have been profound to this teacher of the law. He would have understood who Jesus was claiming to be. At least he should have. But as many Jewish people at the time, he may not have understood the sacrifice that Jesus was going to make and what that would mean for his followers. But later in Matthew, Jesus makes the path very clear. Maybe not for these guys at the time, but he makes the path clear to us. In Matthew 10:22, it says, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Matthew 10:38-39 says, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." And even Matthew 16:24, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus made it clear that it would involve sacrifices to follow him, and asked his followers to consider those costs. But I think what he's implying is consider them, understand them, and then follow him anyways. Because in Jesus' words, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? The costs of not following him are far greater. Well, maybe you relate a bit to this overeager disciple. You tend to make big promises to Jesus without considering the costs first. Maybe you have a big emotional response when you experience the power of God in some way. And so you make big promises to God, maybe without really thinking, and maybe without following through in your actions. What costs do you need to consider? What comforts do you need to be willing to give up? Are you wanting to follow Jesus for the recognition you may receive, or in service to Christ as a response to his service to you? Are you just giving lip service to Jesus, or are you giving your whole life in service to him? Are you or have you been overeager to follow Jesus and forgot to consider the costs? Then there's this other guy that comes to Jesus, and we're going to call him under-eager. And this disciple says, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Notice he uses the title Lord or Master. He acknowledges that Jesus has some authority over him. And then he asks to go do something first, to go and bury his father. And Jesus' response is, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." At first glance, when I first looked at this anyways, I thought Jesus' response seems so heartless and so insensitive. And it's a little more understandable if we understand what the real situation was. When someone in Jesus' day said they wanted to go bury their father, it didn't necessarily mean that he had already died. Instead, they were really saying they wanted to stay with their father until he died. And this could be years away. Perhaps he was also thinking about his inheritance that would be coming and the financial security it would bring. This guy had all the excuses and none of the urgency to follow Jesus. Well, just as the miracles reached right to the heart of the people, this rather strong, shocking statement reveals the true condition of his heart. Jesus was not his number one priority. And I really relate to this guy. I don't know if you do as well, but I'm guessing many of you do relate to him. And in fact, I was talking to someone just this morning who was struggling with this very thing. Sometimes I have this thought about my family right now. All my kids are teenagers. They're very engaged in their church, at school, and they have really good friends, and we have this beautiful, nice, and comfy life in Brookswood. And I wonder sometimes, would Jesus want me to give that up? And would I be willing to give that up? And I think, "Jesus, I will follow you anywhere, but first, let my kids graduate from high school." And deep down, I don't want to sacrifice their security and therefore my security in order to follow Jesus. I am definitely under-eager, a lot more than I like to admit to myself or to others, and would rather follow him on my terms than step out boldly in faith. So what are your but firsts? "I'll follow you, but first, I want to see what the party life is like. I'll follow you, but first, I just want to travel the world. I'll follow you, but first, I want to enjoy high school or college or the single life. I'll follow you, but first, I need to raise my kids. I'll follow you, but first, I need to make enough money, so I don't need to worry about that. I'll follow you, but first I need to retire. I'll follow you, but first I need to fix this thing about myself. I'll follow you, but first I need to deal with all these doubts that I have. Anytime you think about changing the direction of your life, anytime you cry out to God and face the decision to switch directions, ask yourself this question, these questions. Why not now? What am I waiting for? And why am I waiting? This follower called him Lord, but is thinking about what he needs to leave behind rather than who he is following. If he is really his Lord and his Master, you might think his priorities would look a little different. Well, COVID has certainly had that effect on causing many people to consider their priorities. In many conversations I've had, people are noticing that the priorities and time commitments they had before COVID sometimes robbed them of the very things they were looking for in those priorities. As important and worthwhile as some of these things are in life, and you can name them for yourself, Jesus wants our whole selves above every other thing in our life. And when we give our whole selves to following Jesus, because he gives us everything we need to follow him. It's interesting to me that when you look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 9, Luke records Jesus' response to this under-eager follower in this way. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Jesus was always highlighting the spiritual life over the physical life and the importance of others knowing of him over our own priorities. And furthermore, following Jesus is really not just about our own personal benefit, but so that others can know him. When we are under eager in our pursuit of Jesus, we lose that aspect of others needing to know about Jesus as well. So, are you under eager? What do you need to give up to follow Jesus? When's the last time you made a bold declaration and sought to live it out? When's the last time you gave up a comfort, gave up a dream to follow Jesus? Maybe today you need to ask Jesus, is there something I'm holding on too tightly that I need to just lay down at your feet so I can get back to following you? We can look at both of these responses of the overeager and the undereager, and maybe we can criticize them a bit. But maybe we do. Maybe you can see yourself in these responses. But at least they had a response to Jesus, even if it was a little bit clumsy. One response that is not acceptable is that neutral response, a sit on the fence and do nothing kind of response. Boldness looks different in different people, but let that not be an excuse to seek out God's purpose for your life. You may see yourself and think, I'm just a normal person. I don't have any great spiritual skills, or I can't be like that person I see doing all these great things for God. The point is, are you following Jesus boldly into the next thing that he has for you? Are you even asking him? Are you even telling him or telling others that you want to be your life to be about following Jesus? No matter how clumsy or how illogical that may seem. Whatever you have to give, whether you see it as small or big, Jesus wants you to follow him with all of those things. After all, he is worthy of our whole life. He is the Messiah. These followers of Jesus didn't even know the whole picture. They didn't even know half of the picture. But think about what we know about Jesus. We actually know the end of the story, that he died on a cross for our sin. He rose again, conquering sin and death. that when we believe in Him, He forgives us and He gives us a new life and a new heart, and He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. We never need to fear that He is not with us. We always know that He cares for us, that He is for us, and that we will spend eternity with Him. This is who we follow. Let's follow Him boldly. So, do you need an orange carpet confrontation with Jesus? Is now the time for an inflection point in your life that has nothing to do with COVID and everything to do with Jesus? Maybe today you need to get down on your knees and offer up your life to Jesus, wherever that may lead and whatever you might need to sacrifice. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are worth our whole lives. And we're so thankful that you did die on the cross, that you did rise again, and that you are with us, and that we have nothing to fear. So I pray that we would be excited to follow you, but that we would consider what that might involve. And I pray, God, that we, when we think about those things that are holding us back, that we would be willing to lay them to the side. And so, God, I pray if there's someone listening today who needs to make a bold step in following you, I pray that they would be able to tell someone, and then they would boldly be able to move into that future. Lord, help us not to be afraid, but to be excited about what you are doing and what you might do through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks for joining us. And I hope that as the message was shared, that God really reached your heart, and that through the music and through the message, it was a real blessing for you. We've got a few questions that we're just going to bring up on the screen that will help to just you or whoever you're with, whether it be your family or whether you're doing this with your community group, that you can go over together so that you can get a little bit more out of what was shared in the message and the music. Also, after that, we've got some slides that will give you some upcoming information of events that are going to take place or information that we want to pass on to you. You can look at those, but also remember our website is always up and running. You can just go there at any time and it will give you the same information. I hope you have a blessed week. God bless.